The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The word of God, the Bible says, is purified seven times. That means that the word of God is complete. It is complete. Before we get started, I just want to say this morning that, first of all, that it's good to be back home. Some of you all that don't know that Sandra and I, Brother Dan said we were on our honeymoon, but 50 years of marriage. And we had our vows renewed in Hawaii. We had a great time there. We worshiped with Wahupuha, and that's the last time I'm going to pronounce that name, in Hawaii congregation. Great Christians there. Brother Prementer is a gospel preacher there, and they're doing a good work there. They sent their greetings to Damien and Pam from Hawaii. Brother Hall from California was there also. He is the one that renewed our vows. And they also sent their greetings to Pam and Damien. So you're well known over there, brother, and also in California. But it's good to be back home, and Sandra and I were just talking on the way to worship service this morning. Seemed like every time that we go out of town on a long trip, there's a hurricane. We got back in town and we had to prepare for a hurricane. So thank be to God that looked like it would pass us. And so we thank God for that. We thank God for you this morning. We thank God for this congregation here. We thank God for the visitors. We want you to know that you are our honored guest this morning. And we just hope and pray that we show ourselves friendly to you, that whenever you are in this area, you will stop by and worship the Lord in spirit with us on this Lord's Day. And we thank those that are faithful to this congregation as well. But before I get started, we always count this as a blessing as well as a privilege to always to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. My subject is how to establish Bible authority. How to establish Bible authority. As we read in the book of Psalms chapter 68 and verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So there ought not to be any doubt where the word came from. The Bible says God gave the word. And so we, the churches of Christ, we believe that not only the Bible contains the Word of God, but the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that. And in this lesson, we want to see how do we establish Bible authority. In the book of St. John, chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so when you look at that, this is internal evidence that we're dealing with. My brother Dan brought out a couple of Lord's Day ago about external evidences. This is internal evidence, and those of you that are taking notes, you might want to write this down. internal evidences of the Bible. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we understand that if we are to please God in religion, we need to have Bible authority. There's no way that you and I will be able to please God and not have Bible authority. The Bible teaches us that one day you and I will die. And we all are going to stand before a just God. And we're going to be judged out of this book. The Bible tells us, Jesus says in the book of St. John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, he that rejected me and received not my words has one to judge him. He said, these words that I have spoken unto you, the same word will judge you in the last day. And so we're going to be judged according to God's word. And that's why you and I this morning must know how to establish Bible authority. The Bible teaches us that, and we saw this in the book of Psalms, says that the word of God is purified seven times. They are pure. In the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that every word of God is pure. And not only is it pure, so he's a shield to those that put their trust in him. So add not to his word. We can't add to it. Nor can we take from. We have to take it as it is. The Bible says, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Brothers, sisters, and friends, if we want to please God in religion, we must have Bible authority. We must recognize and respect the Word of God and to realize where it came from. The Bible says in 68 of the book of Psalms, God gave the Word. And as we study this lesson this morning, I want us to look at the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And we'll see how clearly the Apostle Paul speaks concerning Bible authority. Paul speaks plain. He teaches us that if we want to identify ourselves with a doctrine, with a religion, we have to be sure. And that's what Peter said. Peter says, make your calling and election sure. We have to be sure that that organization can be found in the Bible. And their doctrine and their pattern backed up by God Almighty. We have to be sure of that. In this book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice what the Apostle Paul says there. He said, make your calling sure. In these passages of scripture. I want us to notice something. He says that in Colossians 3 and verse 17. Notice what the Holy Spirit had to say. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all, not some, but do all in his name. And the phrase in his name means in his authority and Jesus' authority. Whatever that we do in religion, we must have Bible authority or we cannot please God. The Bible says that do it in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I know that this kind of preaching that I'm doing this morning is not normal. It's a rarity. Because you don't find this kind of preaching in the various pulpits around the world. When you turn on your radio and the TV, you're not going to find this kind of preaching that I'm doing this morning. Because we have reached the point, man has, is that we don't want to hear sound doctrine. People want to hear something that makes me feel good. Tell me something that makes me feel good. We want to hear about the one church, the one baptism, the one Lord. Man don't want to hear about that. Don't preach to me that stuff about pagan holidays. We don't want to hear that. Tell me something that makes me feel good so I can jump and shout. These are the times that we're living in. But you know, the Bible is not against shouting. The Bible says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, when Job shook his fist at God, when he was going through his trials and his tribulation, God knew that Job was speaking to him out of frustration. Job wanted to know, why was he suffering? Why did he have to suffer like this? And God told Job, he said, I'll answer your question, Job. He said, but stand up and gird yourself like a man. He said, where were you when the morning stars sang together? Where were you, Job? He said, where were you when I locked the seas together and said, come hither and come no further? Where were you, Job? Where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted? Where were you, Job? You see, it's all right to shout. We have to make sure what we're shouting about. Make sure that we're shouting on the word of God. That's what the Bible is teaching us this morning, that we have to know this morning about how to establish Bible authority. In the Bible, there's an example for obeying the gospel. We have an example for conversion. There's a pattern for conversion. The word of God teaches us. And you might say that, well, why are you harping on Bible authority this morning? For this reason. Come with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 13. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. It said, for such as false prophets, may false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11 and verse 13 and verse 14. Notice what it says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And notice what it says in verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's why we have to have Bible authority. That's why we have to have book, chapter, and verse. If we don't, we're going to be fooled. And don't think that we can't be fooled. I know some strong Christians have been bamboozled by Satan. They're gone. They're not around anymore. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is our example and our authority to lead us from earth unto heaven where God is. The Word of God. That's all we need is God's word. The Bible says it's been purified seven times. And we know some people that have gone off to these schools. And I call them schools of cemetery. And they've been confused. And they left the church. This Bible is enough to grow us, to lead us from heaven to where God is. Notice what the Bible says. That's why we need book, chapter, and verse. I want us to notice something in the book of 1 John. Notice what 1 John teaches us. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll look at these passages of scriptures. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 1. John says, "Beloved," and this is the Holy Spirit crying out to the children of God. This is the Holy Spirit crying out to the world. He says that, "Do not believe every spirit." And this Bible says, but test the spirit. It says, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John says, don't believe every spirit. This Bible says, test. The old King James says, try the spirit. Because there's some deceitful workers out here. Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And if we don't know our Bibles, we can be fooled. So the Holy Spirit is crying out to the Christian. Don't believe every spirit. Every preacher that gets into a pulpit is not a gospel preacher. We have to believe that. Everyone that says they are Christian is not a Christian. It's just not so. The Bible teaches that try the Spirit and see if that Spirit is of God. The Bible tells us that Satan himself has counterfeited over 30,000 different churches of the one church, Satan. Over 30,000. You can Google this in your phone, and you can see there's over 30,000 different churches that exist, and the Bible only speaks of one. But Satan have counterfeited over 30,000 different churches, and you know what Satan is saying? He says that, don't you believe that one church? You go to the church of your choice. That's what Satan is saying. He's counterfeiting over 30,000. The Bible has only mentioned one church in this Bible. Only one. And that's why we have to know as children of God what Satan is doing. We have to know our Bibles. And you know, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, you know what those passages of scripture says? Prove all things. We have to prove it. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. That's what the Bible says. We have to be able to prove it. The church that you plan to attach yourself to, the church that you have already attached yourself to, should be able to prove it in the Bible. Prove it in the Bible. The Bible says prove all things. Brothers, sisters, and friends, it's imperative that we know the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. Jesus told those Jews in the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 32. Listen to what Jesus told those Jews. He said unto those Jews, he said, which believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, Then are ye my disciples indeed. He said, you shall know the truth. Not feel. Feeling is not going to get us there. We're not going to be able to feel our way to heaven. In other words, I feel in my soul that I am all right with God. That's not going to make it. We have to know the truth. And Jesus said, the truth shall make us free. We're not going to be able to feel our way there. There's a story that was told about the lie and the truth. That one day they met, and the lie told the truth, asked the truth, really, said, I would like for you to go swimming with me. And the truth said, well, you know, I don't have anything to do with you. Because everybody knows that you're a lie. And everything that you say is a lie. And the lie said, well, I'm not really going to hurt you. He said, I just want you to go swimming with me. And so he convinced the truth to go swimming with him. And the truth dived off into the water. And as he was swimming out in the lake, well, the lie didn't go in. He stayed back. And he stole the truth clothes. And when the truth realized what he had done, the lie had headed back into town with the truth clothes on. And the truth says that when he came out of the water, he was standing there naked. He said, well, I'm not going to put these clothes on. Because everybody knows that this is the lie clothes. And I'm not going to put them on. So the lie headed back into town and with the truth clothes on. And when the people saw him, they said, well, now the guy that came through here before, he looked different. But he got these clothes on. They didn't notice that somebody was coming down the road. They said, well, let's check this person out that's coming down the road. And here comes the truth, naked. And as he got closer, they said, that's the truth. That's the naked truth. And that's the only thing I'm trying to say to you and give you this morning is the naked truth without adding or taking from God's word. I don't want you to be bamboozled. I have a pigeon dropped on you in religion. Just want to teach us this morning from the Bible that we all need Bible authority. If we want to please God, we need to know how to establish Bible authority. The world, Satan, the devil, has put this fabrication on the Church of Christ. Is that you all think that you're the only one that's going to walk through the pearly gates. That's not what we teach. We don't teach that. There's going to be somebody in heaven that's not a member of the Church of Christ. It's going to be somebody up there. Let me clear this up. I believe in my heart and according to the Bible that Abraham is going to be up there. He wasn't in the Church of Christ. I believe that John the Baptist is going to be there. He wasn't in the Church of Christ. In fact, he had his head cut off before the Church of Christ was established. He's going to be there. What we teach is that there's only one church in the Bible, the blood-bought church Jesus Christ established. That's the church that you have to be in order for you to go to heaven. That's what we teach. The world has put this fabrication on the Church of Christ so people won't obey the gospel. They're saying you're narrow-minded people. We're not narrow-minded. We teach what the Bible teaches. You have to be where salvation is in Christ Jesus. Let me go a little further here as we come to the conclusion of this lesson. As we come to the conclusion of this lesson, I want us to take a look at this passage of Scripture. In the book of Galatians, we'll see how concerned and in plain the Apostle Paul is about Bible authority. Galatians chapter 1. Let's take a look at that. Galatians chapter 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul had to say. And we'll read down through verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, an apostle not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me. He said, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, even age, according to the will of our God the Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are turning away. The King James are so soon removed. He said, are turning away and soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, notice what he says. He's talking about Bible authority. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He says that, and we have said before, so now I say again, if any preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He said, for I do now persuade men. He said, or God. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? He's asking a question. He says, but if I seek to please men, he said, for if it still please men, I will not be a bondservant or a servant of Christ. The Apostle Paul says that if an angel came from heaven and lit right here, feathers and all, and I know that some people think that angels has feathers. We've seen the picture people have on the wall in different places, angels with wings and feathers. But the Bible speaks of young men being angels. But if an angel lit right here, the Bible says, and preached another gospel, let that angel be a curse. We're talking Bible authority. Lesson this morning is yours concerning Bible authority. If something is said this morning from the Bible that's instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds, if we're subject to the gospel, and I want to show her this morning, this is God's plan of salvation for all mankind. We are to first hear his word. Not just anything, but here's word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what we are to hear, is God's word. After hearing it, we are to believe it. In the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you nay, he said, except you believe that I am he, he said, you will die in your sins. And verse 21 of those same passages of scripture, Jesus says that if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So we must believe God's word after hearing it. And after hearing it, we must change. We must repent from our old teachings. The thing that we have been taught that we can't find in the Bible, we have to turn from that. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And it tells us again in verse 5, I'll tell you nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And after repentance comes a good confession. You know, there's nothing really hard about obeying the gospel. Back in the old book, when those people obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost, it was just a ma and pa question. What shall we do? Just that simple. Just ask a question. What shall we do? And the Bible tells us that we must make the good confession. Peter told them to make that good confession. He said, that same Lord to whom you crucified, God had made both him Lord and Savior. The Bible said they were pricked in their hearts And they asked that question, what must we do? What shall we do? And he told them what to do. We are to make the good confession. The good confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the good confession. The book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. So with the heart remembered, believe it unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So that's the good confession. And after that, and don't let anyone tell you that you're saved before you're baptized, because you're not. The Bible teaches us that we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism to have our sin washed away. How are you going to have your sin washed away if you hadn't been baptized? You have to know the reason why you're being baptized. Baptism is where we meet the blood of Christ and we are to wash our sins away. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, sometime we're disobedient. Once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, therein few, a soul were saved by water. Even so, baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where we get our conscience clean, in the watery grave of baptism. Then if you've already obeyed the gospel and you've made a mistake, you've sinned the body of Christ, you committed a sin, we can pray for you this morning. Ask that you might be restored back into fellowship. But if you just need prayer this morning, while we're saying the invitation, son, you're subject to the gospel in any manner, you may come forward.